Well, as George shared, we've been going through the idea of reaching. And we looked last week at the need to have compassionate laborers. And that really is our prayer over the next 4 years, is that you and I will make this commitment to be laborers in the harvest, and to do so with a heart of compassion. And to be able to do that, we're going to need to be refreshed. And so I'd like for us to begin to look at that. We're going to have much more time over the next 4 years to really look at this subject. So today we're going to scratch the surface. But I want us to look at the book of Haggai and to be able to get some ideas of how to become refreshed. So let's look in the book of Haggai, beginning in the first verse. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month of the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, the people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And you earn wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but indeed I came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the sons of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the sons of Jehozadak, and the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, "I am with you, says the Lord." So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, and the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love to stir up the people in the time of Haggai to be able to do your work, to refresh them, to, Lord, be able to move them from being in a spiritual drought to awakening their souls and letting them be used to be able to make a difference in their community, make a difference in the world. Father, we pray that, Lord, as we look at Grace Baptist Church, that over the next few weeks and months and years, God, that you would refresh us. Lord, that we would be people who would serve in the Spirit of God, that we would be compassionate laborers, and that much would be accomplished for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm old enough to remember growing up, one of my favorite commercials was the Nesty Plunge. Anybody remember that? Some of you young people don't have no clue what I'm talking about. But some of you who are my age and older, you remember what it was like to have Nesty tea, and they would say, man, you need to be refreshed. And you remember they would take a drink of it and then they would show the picture of the person falling back into a pool and coming out and just feeling refreshed. And there's something about feeling refreshed. I mean, have you ever just been so physically tired and you just fell asleep early and you slept the whole night through and you wake up and it's just like there's a new energy to your life? Or maybe you've been emotionally drained and you get away for a weekend and you come back just refocused and renewed and excited. Or maybe you've had a bad day at work and you get home and you head to home group and you sort of don't want to go, but once you get there, there's people there who laugh with you and cry with you and hug you and pray with you. And in that bad day, you're able to come back home later that night and it's a different feeling because you have been refreshed. And there's great to be physically and emotionally refreshed, but there's something special when you're spiritually refreshed. To be able to be in the Lord and to be able to be renewed. And yet many of us don't make time in our schedule to be refreshed in the Lord. And some of us honestly don't know how to do that. Many of us just get complacent. And we live these long seasons where we're frustrated and we live in the flesh and we really don't have much impact in the kingdom. Last week we looked at the REACH movement and this idea of being a compassionate laborer. But there's no way that we're going to be able to do the work of the Lord unless we're able to connect to God and allow Him to do the work through us. And this is why it's so important that we come to the place where we are refreshed. We don't need a bunch of laborers in the harvest. We need compassionate laborers. There's a lot of people who will work, and they'll work, and they'll be a little bit selfish about it, or they'll work, and you'll hear them gripe and complain, or they'll work, and they'll just get frustrated, and they let everybody they minister to know about it. That's not what the kingdom needs. The kingdom needs laborers who are filled with a heart of compassion because they're doing it for the Lord and they're refreshed in Him. So I want us to look real quickly today through the book of Haggai. We're going to sort of survey the book, but I want us to look at, first of all, the need to refresh. And the first reason we need to refresh is because sometimes in life we run into destruction. We see in 586 BC, Babylon came to Jerusalem and destroyed the temple and destroyed the entire city. And sometimes we go through life events and it seems like it's just totally knocked us for a loop, and it seems like we have been destroyed. Maybe a sickness has come upon us. Maybe it's a financial crisis. Maybe someone that we are very close to passes away, and we are just shocked to our core, and we just lose confidence. But listen, Christian, there is hope. Notice what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. But we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And so listen, I don't know if you know this yet, but God says if you're going to be a Christian, life is not going to be easy. And can I have an amen? But this is what He does say. Listen, you're not going to get to the place where you're totally wiped out. Because listen, Jesus had to die, and you're carrying Jesus' death. And so there's going to be times of pain and suffering. And there are. But this is what He also says. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. There's also victory and refreshment and power. And even when you've gone to the hardest times of life, your God is still with you. And that power is available to you. He also comes and says that there's a reason of frustration. After 70 years, the Jews were finally allowed to leave Babylon after everything had been destroyed, and now they are able to return to Jerusalem and rebuild. And so they get started and they get a foundation going and they get an altar so that they can have sacrifices. But then hardships begin to befall them, and life begins to get hard and people make it difficult. There's enemies and they just get frustrated. And so they start off well and they begin running the sprint, but then as time goes on, they fail to finish strong. Anybody ever been a part of that in life? We just get frustrated. And some of us get frustrated with the Christian life. We start this run and this passion, this desire to be able to finish the race, and life starts getting hard, and we thought, well, man, I accepted Jesus, it just should always be roses. So we sort of give up. And we forget that we need to be refreshed. You know, I find great comfort in our Lord Jesus Christ because he's a great example for us. And this is what the Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 16. So he himself often withdrew in the wilderness and prayed. Now let me tell you, if Jesus needed to get away to be alone with the Father to be refreshed, how much more do we need to make that an ongoing discipline in our life? In Mark chapter 6, you can read about Jesus. Jesus has just heard the news that John the Baptist has passed away. John the Baptist was his cousin. He loved John the Baptist. And he didn't just die, he was beheaded. And you can imagine the pain and the grief that Jesus is there, and he says to his disciples, listen, I just want to get away. So they get in a boat and they start to get away, and the crowds were following Jesus and they see him in the boat and they're faster than the boat. So by the time he gets to the other side, the crowd is already there. Have you ever been those days where you just need a break and life just doesn't give it to you? And here's Jesus. And it's in that moment that Jesus looks and he has compassion for the multitude. And Jesus does one of the greatest miracles, the feeding of the 5,000. When his heart is broken. And yet he trusts the Lord to give him the strength to be able to get through the day. And that night, he puts his disciples in the boat and sends them out. And then he goes up on the mountain and he prays and he gets refreshed. I'm telling you, some of us go through seasons of hard times, but we just never get along with the Lord. And we're under this bitterness and this meanness and this ugliness. And we're like, how do I get rid of this? You're going to have to spend some time with Jesus. And let him refresh you. And then there's complacency. Other times we just get stuck doing good enough. We just go through the motions. We become apathetic. If you will, we get to the place where we are just lukewarm. This is what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Man, I love coffee. I love a nice hot cup of coffee every morning. That's how I start my day. It's my drug of choice, caffeine. That's the only one I take. All right? But then, in the summer, when it's like a cold or a hot day, I don't mind going to Starbucks and getting one of those cold frappuccinos. And that feels good. But I'll tell you what's just nasty. It is in the morning when you pick up your cup of coffee and it's been sitting there for a while and you take a sip and it's just lukewarm and I can't drink it. I just go to the sink and I spit it out. And this is what God says. He says, listen, when you just serve and you're doing it just out of complacency, you're just doing it out of obligation, you're just doing it because you're apathetic and you're not really in this, you have no desire, you have no heart. He goes, I would rather you just be honest with yourself and say, listen, I just don't want to do this. I would rather you be cold because at least you know where you are spiritually. Because when you're lukewarm, he goes, it just makes me want to throw up. That's what it literally means in the Greek. And I think we've all had seasons of that in our life. After 16 years, the Jews had been back there and they still only had the foundation of the temple built. And they had just stopped working because they were now tired and frustrated and complacent. You know, things at Grace Baptist are going great. We've had 12 baptisms in the first 3 months this year. Isn't that awesome? You know, if we can continue that, we'll have about 50 at the end of the year. But I'll tell you what's the greatest temptation is that we get to the place where we become complacent. Where we just sit back and go, yeah, good things are taking place. I'm just going to sit here and get comfortable in this pew and I'm just going to watch everybody do some stuff and I'll cheer them on occasionally. And the reality is we all need to be refreshed and we all need to be used. So the second thing I want us to look at when we look at refreshment is the most important thing, and that's the importance of God as priority. And the first thing I want you to see is there is a need to refresh God's house. Notice in verse 2, the people say, it's not time. It's not time to refresh God's house. Once we get our lives straightened out, then we'll serve God. Have you ever heard Christians say that? I just don't have time. Once I get my life fixed and I have time for myself and get that fixed, then I'll serve God. I don't have any money to give. Well, once I get myself financially situated, then I'll start giving to God. You ever heard that? Once I get my life cleaned up and it's the right way, then I'll start serving God and sharing the gospel. You know what the problem is we never get ourselves where we need to be. And God says, listen, you say it's not time, but you've got your houses built. Notice what he says in verse 4. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Consider your ways, he says in verse 5. You see, the temple was not only a place where they would come and worship, but it was a symbol to the nations that God was the true God. And the people were diligent about coming and being able to get their lives ordered, but they put God to what would be the leftovers. And listen, God was not the temple, but the temple was an important symbol that was used for the worship and the proclamation to God, not only to Israel, but throughout the whole world. You know, the church here is not a building. These are just buildings. But the way that we take care of these buildings is a testimony to how we worship God and what we believe about Him. Being good stewards and making sure that things look nice reflect to our community the value that we believe God and His work and what it should do to our community. We are so blessed to have the facilities that we have and to have them debt-free. Amen. And so we have a responsibility to be good stewards. And so what we want to do is encourage our people not to go into a giving campaign, but to encourage our people just to come to the place where we are faithful in giving our first 10% to God. And I believe if we do that, we don't have to go through giving campaigns. We'll have everything that we need. And some of the things that we feel like that God's leading us to do is to be able to get those fields to look nice so that we can use them for our community to reach people, to finish paying off our solar power, to be able to have a maintenance fund. We're blessed to have this building paid off, but how many of you know that a lot of the air conditioning units were the original ones? And so we know that there's coming a day very soon where we're going to have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 air conditioning units that are going to need to be replaced. And so we know that we need to start giving so that we can save money so that we can do that. We would like to refresh our kitchen and the connection center, to have a prayer garden, to be able to eventually redo our lobby and our office space. But we want to make sure that we make our campus look nice. So it's a reflection of our worship to God and the importance of He is to our community. But secondly, we need to make sure that God's people are refreshed. You see, you can't refresh God's house until the people are refreshed. And listen, refreshment doesn't come in an event. We're going to have some events, but you can't just go to one event and feel like you're going to be refreshed for life. It doesn't work like that. I love conferences. I love retreats. I love special events. They're important. There are many times God uses those to refresh us, but they won't last forever. And some of us are looking for that. But what I want you to understand is we need to have a lifestyle of refreshment where we're deliberately taking time on a regular basis to be able to spend with the Lord and to be able to refresh ourselves. Many of us think the word refresh means to stop working. And that's a lot of people's mind. Oh, well, I just need to stop work. I'll just stop serving and then I'll be refreshed. You know, I think about my favorite sport right now. I'm about to go through depression because we've just got basketball and baseball and hockey, and they're okay, but it's not football, folks, you know. So I'm just waiting for football to start again, you know. And I think about all those football players, and they're not working right now. But if all they do is sit on the couch and just get fat, when June comes and the training begins, they're going to be in big trouble, aren't they? So while they're being refreshed, that doesn't mean that they're still not getting ready. And for us to be refreshed doesn't mean that we stop doing everything. Some of us, when we stop working, that means we stop ministry, but we also leave God out of our lives. And what we're talking about is bringing God to refresh us to where we can learn and work in the Spirit and do the ministry through God doing it through us instead of us doing it. We need to make God the most important thing. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So how do we become refreshed? That's what I want us to look at. How do we become refreshed? And as we look at, again, refreshing the people in Haggai's day to refresh God's house, and we look at refreshing ourselves to reach hundreds and thousands of people, it can't happen until we are all refreshed in the Lord. So how do we do this? Well, the first thing I want you to see in verse 5 and 7, God says we need to consider our ways. What is your priority? Is your priority you, or is the priority God? What is your priority, your house or God's house? What is your priority, your life or God's will? Until God becomes the priority, life does not work. And this is why it's important for us to get to the place where if we find our life and we're not living as we should, we need to repent. We need to come to the place where we say, listen, God, I don't want to do ministry in my own way of thinking and my strength and my resources. I have to catch myself all the time because it's real easy to get excited about something and start doing something. And then I realize a few weeks into it, uh-oh, I'm doing this out of my strength and not God's anymore. And God brings me to that place. You need to pray. You need to get back in the Word about this ministry and do it for me, not for you. And we need to make sure that we're taking time to listen to God, and when He convicts us of sin, we need to come to the place, not where we say, yeah, I'm sinning, God, but yeah, God, I'm sinning and I'm willing to repent and go your way. Secondly, I want you to see that we need to join the remnant. Notice in verse 12, he comes here and he says to the Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people. There was a group of people that was out of Israel that said, you know what? We want to get serious about God and His work. Now, I wish with all my heart that it said that all the people got serious about God's work. But that just doesn't happen. There's always going to be a few who are the core that are serious. And I wish we could do the Reach movement and every person here today that's listening would say, I'm all in, Pastor, I'll do it. I really wish that would happen. But let me tell you, let's just be honest. Not everybody is. And what we have to do is make sure that we don't let those who are not stop the ones who will. The ones who are willing to start getting serious need to say, listen, I want to be a part of this movement, because when the Spirit comes and refreshes, I want to be there. I want to be there at that prayer meeting when God shows up. I want to be in that Bible study when the Spirit moves. I want to be in those worship services. I want those special times when we're coming together as a church, like this Friday night, and we're going to come and pray and worship. And I want to be there when God does something unique and special. And I wish it was possible that everybody would. But listen, don't let that stop you just because your friends won't do it. Be a part of the remnant. Be a part of the true people of God. The people that desire to be used. Third, I want you to see they worshiped and obeyed God. Notice it says in verse 12, they obeyed the voice of the Lord. And it says they feared the presence of the Lord. There was a reverence for God. There was an understanding that when God spoke, that they had to obey. And God has spoken to us as a church. Love God, love others, and reach the world. We have our marching orders. We are called to be the compassionate laborers into the harvest. And he comes and he says, listen, in verse 13, I love this. He says, I am with you, says the Lord. Do you remember what God said and when he gave the Great Commission, Jesus' word? Go into all the world, baptize, preach, teach, and know this, that even to the end of the age, I'm what? I'm with you. You see, it's not about us doing the work. It's about enjoying Jesus while we're doing the work as he does the work in and through us. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, there's still going to be a yoke. There is still going to be work. But how many of you know that when Jesus is beside you and he's with you, it's not work anymore, it's worship? And when your ministry and your work to the Lord is not burden, but it becomes worship, there's a sweet flavor that is offered to the Lord. And that's what I want us to see. I want us to be refreshed in the Lord so that when we work for the Lord, it's worship to him. And it honors and it pleases him. This is the desire that God has for us. Well, how do we do that? Well, notice in verse 14, we have to serve in the Spirit. Notice it says, so the Lord stirred up the Spirit And you see, we can't do the work on ourselves, but aren't we blessed that we have the Spirit of God who lives in us? Now, there's three things when it comes to the Spirit of God. And the first thing I want you to understand is you can't quench the Spirit when you're doing the work of the Lord. And some of us, the Spirit's not really having fully control of our life because God's called us to join Him in something, and we're saying, God, I don't want to do that. Maybe God's calling you to witness to that coworker, or maybe God's calling you to be an Awana worker or to work in youth ministry, and you're just, I don't want to do that. I'm calling you to come to the Connect prayer meeting. God, I don't want to do that. I want you to start getting involved in Bible study. I don't want to do that. I'd like for you to get connected to other people and be a part of a small group. I don't want to do that. We quench the Spirit, and then we wonder, God, how come you're not using me in a wonderful way? Because God's prompting us, and we're not obeying. Secondly, we don't want to grieve the Spirit. Some of us have got very comfortable with sin in our life. And we have covetousness, and we have lust, and we have greed, and we just have all this stuff that we sort of do, and we're frustrated because God's really not using us, and yet the Holy Spirit is grieved and crying and weeping because we continue to hold on to our pet sins and we won't confess them and repent. And we've got to come to the place where we're not grieving the Spirit. And third, we have to be filled with the Spirit. What that means is that we are willing to be able to be under the influence and the control of the Spirit. You see, it's the power of the blood that washes us clean, and it's the Spirit of God that lives in us that allows us to do the ministry with an attitude of worship. Notice what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And today, if you're tired and you're weary, man, my encouragement is to be able to say, come to the place where you refresh yourself in the Lord and allow the Spirit of God to come and renew you. And then when the next time you're doing your ministry, you will find a difference when the Spirit is doing it and we're not doing it. Next thing I want you to see is that we need to work as a unified team. If you notice in Haggai, you can look in verse 14. And it says, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and the governor of Judea, and the spirit of the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. All the people came together with the same mind and the same heart and the same vision, and they worked together. And we have to come to this place where we realize, listen, if I'm going to be a part of a body and an organization, I'm not going to always get everything my way. And there's some people that come to the place and they go, well, I don't get things my way. So now that we're not going to play the way I want to play, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. Have you ever met those people? They shouldn't be in the body of Christ. We're on a rescue mission. There's people dying and going in to hell. We got to get over this trivial stuff, and we need to come and say, listen, we're all in this together. We're not always going to have the color carpet that you want. It's okay. We just need to have carpet so we can reach people. We need to get to the place where we say, listen, we are about this, Grace Baptist. We're about praying down the kingdom of heaven. We're about studying His word because we believe there's power there. We're about getting equipped and going out to our community and the world to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to work as a team. Notice what it says in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint, supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Man, we do great ministry here at Grace, but can I tell you, we could do amazing ministry if we had everybody here using their talent and their treasures for the glory of God. I can't imagine the impact that we could have here in this community around the world, I believe we would see revival. If every single person said, use me, God, in this body to give what I have been blessed with to be able to bring this vision about. Next thing I want you to see is we have to be content. They started to do the work, and notice in verse 3, it says, who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? They started to look at the temple, and they looked and go, wow, our temple looks nothing like the old temple used to look. I'll tell you, as a pastor, I get that all the time. I sort of dread going to conferences. Because as a pastor, you go to a conference, and nobody asks, well, man, how are you doing in the Lord today? How is the Lord speaking to you? Or what is the Lord doing in your church? And how is it speaking to certain members in your church? You know what they always ask when you go to a conference? How many people come to your worship service? How big is your buildings? What's your budget for your church? And you know, I mean, as a pastor, you hear that over and over and over again. Sometimes you just start comparing and you realize, wow, I'm not very happy because that guy's got more than I got. And aren't we all like that sometimes? We look at the neighbor. Look, they just got that new car. I don't have a new car. They got a bigger house. They've got that dog. I want a dog. Not really, right? But we look and we compare and we go, I want. And you know, some life is actually good for us. But we're discontent because our eyes are not on the thankfulness of what God has given us. Our eyes are on what other people have, and we're dissatisfied now. And if you're going to be refreshed, let me tell you a little secret. You'll never be refreshed unless you can be content today with what God has given you. And if you can be satisfied today, God can refresh you. You see, God comes and he says, listen, one day this temple is going to have more glory than the older temple. And we need to remember that's what it's about. And that leads us to our last thing. We've got to live for God's glorification. Notice what he says in verse 7. He says, and I will shake all the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. The glory of this later temple shall be greater than the former. Man, I hope that we don't look back and say the good old days of Grace Baptist were the best days. I hope we're saying 4 years from now, the glory that we're going to bring the Lord is far greater than what we've already done. They see, if we get complacent and we stop working and we stop being refreshed in the Lord, then it's so easy to come like many, many churches and begin to slowly die. Our heart has to be, God, I want to bring you glory. What does it mean for bringing God glory? It really means that what I delight in is not in the numbers, but in whether the relationship is actually being manifested, and is there joy in the relationship. I think about Moses. You remember when Moses was used of God to lead Israel out of Egypt, and he goes to Pharaoh and he says, those people go, and Pharaoh says no, and 10 times he goes back. He sees 10 different miracles. Imagine what it was like when he's leading the people out and how excited it was, and then they get to the Red Sea, and then he sticks his staff in and that sea parts, and he walks through the Red Sea, and he gets to the other side, and they're hungry, and there's manna, and there's quail, and he hits a rock, and there's water, and he's seen miracle after miracle after miracle. He had gotten the Ten Commandments. I mean, he had held words that were actually written by God. And Moses said, man, this is not enough, God. This is not enough. And he says, oh God, in chapter 33 of Exodus, he says, please show me your glory. God, just let me be in your presence, and that will be what I want. And he says, listen, you can't see my face, but what I'll do is I'll put you in a rock and I'll put my hand behind, and you can see the back of my glory as I walk away. You see, if we want to see revival, notice what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Notice he says they don't turn and seek my hand. So many people come to God and say, give me more, give me more, give me more. But revival comes, refreshment comes when we say, oh God, I just want to see your face. God, I just want you to show up. I just want to be in your presence. And then it makes all the difference. If you're married, you sort of know what I mean. You know, when we first get married, we're all lovey-dovey, and we're happy, and life is wonderful, right? And then let's be honest, it just happens. It happens in every marriage, unfortunately. But over time, we get to the place where we start taking our spouse for granted. And we still serve our spouse. We might make them lunch, we might cut the grass, we might do things for our spouse, but it's not with the same heart that we once had. And then usually God gets a hold of us, hopefully, and reminds us of how precious our spouse really is to us. And then once we've been refreshed and we've gotten alone, maybe we spend some time with our spouse and we fall back in love like we should, now we begin to do those same things again, but it's with the right heart. And this is what God's saying. Listen, I want you to come, and I don't want you to just start doing a bunch of activity. What I want you to do is fall afresh in love with me. And remember how much I'm in love with you. And I just want you to seek to bring me glory. And as we do that, then God will do amazing things. Well, let's look real quick. What are the results of refreshment? I want you to see in chapter 2, verse 19, the first thing we're going to be blessed. Notice he says, is the seed still in the barn as yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit, but from this day I will bless you. You see, the people were not living for God. They were not rebuilding the temple, and so life wasn't going well. And you know, when we're not living for God, life doesn't go well. But when we come to the place, well, we say, God, I'm going to start living for you. How many of you know immediately that's when the blessings begin? And that's the good news. If you're here today and you're ready to say, you know what, today I want the blessings to start. Well, let me tell you, come and say today is going to be the day of repentance. And the blessings will come. Secondly, notice there will be victories over our enemies. In verse 22, he says, listen, I'll shake heaven and earth and will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms, and I will overthrow the chariots. Man, some of us just need spiritual victory and freedom in our life. How many of you know that freedom and victory come when we get to the place where we recognize that when we're in the presence of God, Satan flees? And if you're refreshed in the Lord and you're constantly in the Lord's presence, then Satan has to flee from you. And then third, notice we get to accomplish great things for his kingdom. Notice he says in verse 23, in that day, says the Lord, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, and I will make you a signet ring. I have chosen you, says the Lord. Let me tell you, if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, God has called you. It wasn't by accident. He chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you, and he says, listen, you are my servant. You are my child. And this is what I give you. I give you the signet ring. I give you authority so that when you go out on my name and you can give freedom and deliverance to others. You can proclaim the greatness of God and the life in Christ. In the Bible, there's a story in Luke chapter 10 about two ladies, one Martha, one Mary. Mary comes and says, "Listen, Lord, I'm working hard for you. Look at all that I'm doing. And there's my sister Mary, and she's just sitting at your feet." Jesus says, "You know what, Martha? Mary's chosen the right thing." It's not that Mary never worked again. It was that Mary got refreshed so that she could go and serve and make a difference in the kingdom. If you're here today and you're like Martha and you just feel overburdened and tired and weary, I hope today that you will come and be refreshed in the Lord Jesus. If you're Mary, I hope that you'll rise and go and serve in the power of the Spirit. And then I hope today that Grace Baptist, we will make a commitment to be a church that over the next 4 years, we make it our heart and passion to be refreshed in the Lord. Let's pray.